Democrats win on the budget deal, or do they? President Trump prepares an executive order on religious freedom, and social scientists say singles make better citizens. It's Skywatch TV for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. I'm Derek Gilbert. First up, flooding continues across Missouri, especially now in the St. Louis area, where transportation officials have shut down Interstate 55. That occurred at midnight Wednesday. This effectively cuts off St. Louis from southeast Missouri as other highways headed to the southeast. Telegraph Road, Highway 30 are basically shut down as well, where they cross the Merrimack River. Storms and heavy rains that began over the weekend forced the closure of hundreds of roads in Arkansas, Missouri, and Illinois. At least 20 people died from the storms and the flooding that followed. MoDOT says the roads will remain closed for the rest of the week, including a 57-mile stretch of I-44 from central to southern Missouri and a 23-mile stretch in suburban St. Louis. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky asks, are Democrats still the minority party? In an op-ed piece published by Breitbart News, Senator Paul writes, you'd think the $1 trillion government funding deal is like Christmas morning for Democrats, as Republicans have handed them free media to brag about how much of the president's agenda they have stopped. Senator Paul adds, you'll see it in the news as the omnibus spending bill when it should really be called the Status Quo Protection Act. President Hillary Clinton would be proud of this bill. Senator Paul points out that the bill does not strip funding from Planned Parenthood and does not include funding for a border wall, as well as leaving a deficit at over $500 million. Now, on the other hand, House Speaker Paul Ryan said Tuesday during a press conference that Planned Parenthood is not funded in the budget reconciliation bill that Republicans should be able to get through the Senate with only 51 votes. Senate rules, which is sort of a handshake agreement because it's not in the Constitution, is that it takes 60 votes to pass legislation because one side or the other could say, okay, we filibuster, which means you basically hold the podium and don't let go until you can pass 60 votes or get 60 votes to call for cloture, which ends the filibuster, which means if one side or the other wants to stop it, they just say, well, we're going to filibuster. They don't actually make them stand there all night reading stuff like the Jimmy Stewart movie, was it Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? It's sort of a way to basically force gridlock on Congress and not allow one side or the other to get anything done. Now, do they have to abide by that rule? No, not necessarily. They certainly went around it for the to get Judge Neil Gorsuch appointed to the Supreme Court, or rather approved for the Supreme Court. But in the budget reconciliation process, which is basically where they take a Senate bill and a House bill and put them together, that can be passed with only 51 votes, which means they don't need any Democrats to cross the aisle. Ryan differentiated then between the omnibus bill, which they had to pass the House with Democrat support by leaving the funding in for Planned Parenthood, and the reconciliation bill, which takes the funding out for Planned Parenthood, which they can get through the Senate with only 51 votes. So we'll wait and see what the final bill looks like. Don't believe everything you hear in the mainstream media. Happy World Press Freedom Day. Yes, today is World Press Freedom Day, according to the United Nations. It was declared so by the UN General Assembly in 1993. They call it an opportunity to celebrate the fundamental principles of a free press, assess the state of press freedom throughout the world, defend the media from attacks on their independence, and pay tribute to journalists who've lost their lives in the line of duty. It sounds very noble, but just remember, this comes from the organization that just named Saudi Arabia to the Women's Rights Commission. Saudi Arabia, where regardless of age, a woman needs to have a male guardian who makes all of her decisions, including whether she can travel abroad, who she gets married to, whether she can work, and access to health care. And of course, in Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive. Saudi Arabia will have a seat on the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women from next year through 2022. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the Islamic State trying to enforce Sharia law on Christians who live near the border with the Gaza Strip. A Reuters investigation found that the Islamic State has created a morality police force known as a Hizbah to enforce rules against such behavior as smoking, shaving the beards, for the men, of course, or women exposing their faces. In February, an ISIS affiliate group calling itself Sinai Province described in a video how it would wipe out the Christians in Egypt. That's about 10% of Egypt's 92 million people. So 9 million. Last month, militants connected to the Islamic State killed at least 45 people in two church bombings on Palm Sunday. But things aren't all good for the Islamic State in the Sinai. Bedouin tribesmen from the Terebin tribe on Tuesday night killed 8 Islamic State militants not far from Rafah on the Gaza border and took prisoners as well. This is part of a vendetta that the tribe declared against ISIS, a vendetta that's been getting more violent in recent months. Apparently, the Terebin tribe and ISIS militants are feuding over control of land and smuggling routes for people, weapons, and drugs. On Monday, shortly before noon, Russia's Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump held a phone conversation. They agreed to try to meet in July to work out work out ways to strengthen a ceasefire deal in Syria and to deal with the situation in North Korea. The Kremlin called the talks between Putin and Trump businesslike and constructive. The White House released a similar statement saying the two presidents agreed that all parties must do all they can to end the violence in Syria, and that Trump and Putin also discussed working together against Islamic militants throughout the Middle East. President Trump will reportedly sign a controversial religious liberty executive order Thursday, just before he and other conservative leaders meet for the National Day of Prayer. Politico is reporting that Trump has invited conservative speakers to the White House, where he'll sign the executive order. The draft seeks to provide exemptions for religious people and organizations who object to same-sex marriage, premarital sex, abortion, contraception, and transgender identity. According to a source, the language is very, very strong. And of course, the American Civil Liberties Union is already getting prepared for a court battle. Coming up, another top executive is out at Fox News. That's ahead on Skywatch TV.
After decades of investigative work together, the moment we've been waiting for is finally here. Legendary authors Stephen Quayle and Dr. Thomas Horn reveal what is now indisputably the greatest achievement of their life's work together in the Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters special collection. When you purchase this once-in-a-lifetime special offer, you'll receive the brand-new There Were Giants documentary film. In this groundbreaking, full-length DVD, you'll travel with Stephen Quayle and Dr. Thomas Horn to the historical clandestine places where giants are actually buried on American soil. You'll discover the ancient locations of tribal stargates and what's been hidden in plain sight by the great Smithsonian Institute for more than 200 years. Plus, Defender Publishing is proud to introduce the new collaborative companion book, Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters. Walk with Stephen Quayle and Dr. Thomas Horn as they meet secretly with the leaders of the Hopi, Zuni, and Uti Nation tribes to learn about the pre-flood architecture of the giant kings. Learn why the ancient Anasazi disappeared overnight, who the dragon-worshipping giant invaders of early America were, and how they taught natives ritual cannibalism to change their DNA into fit extensions for spirits of dead giants, and so much more. In addition, when you order the Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters special collection, you'll also receive Shadow Hand, the over 24-hour, never-before-offered Steve Quayle and Tom Horn definitive audio series on CD. This brand new audio collection discloses the terrifying truth behind the WikiLeaks emails and the push for official disclosure of so-called aliens in 2017. And as a bonus, the new Shadowhand audio series includes the most requested collections ever produced by Steve Quayle and Thomas Horn. The Coming Zombie Apocalypse, As It Was in the Days of Noah, Psychotronic Warfare, and The Coming Replacement Humans, over 24 hours on audio CD. But that's not all. Also included in this special offer, while supplies last, 2 brand new free gift books for your library or to give away as gifts. Sold separately, this amazing collection represents a total value of over $175. Yours for only $39.95 beginning in May. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to own the Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters special collection, available exclusively at the Skywatch TV store, Order online now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Fox News forced out one of its most senior executives Monday. Bill Shine, co-president of the network and a close friend of Roger Ailes, its former chairman, came about 10 months after Mr. Ailes was removed after a number of sexual harassment allegations. This also about 2 weeks after its number one rated host, Bill O'Reilly, was forced out after a number of similar allegations. Now, rumors are going around that Ailes is talking with broadcast executives and a number of high-powered investors to launch an alternative conservative news channel, channel that would challenge Fox News as well as CNN and MSNBC. In the meanwhile, if you've got cable or just an internet connection, you've got Newsmax TV and One America News. Less than 2 months after announcing it would begin using artificial intelligence in its marketing, Facebook is being accused of sharing information to advertisers on emotionally vulnerable children. According to the Australian newspaper, a 23-page leaked document obtained, marked confidential, internal only, and dated 2017, reveals that Facebook used algorithms to sift through posts, pictures, and the reactions of 6.4 million high schoolers, tertiary students, and young Australians and New Zealanders. So this report just focused on New Zealand and Australia. To learn about the emotional state of these Facebook users, the Australian reports that the algorithms essentially looked for moments when young people felt that they needed an emotional boost, feeling worthless or insecure, and perhaps more open to the message from an advertiser on ways they could feel better by buying this, that, or the other. Facebook says the data collected by the algorithms was never used for targeted ads, but merely to help marketers understand better how people express themselves on Facebook. Nevertheless, Facebook says it's launched an investigation to correct their mistake. More on the weekend storms here in the state of Missouri. Among the victims of the weather over the weekend, 32 dairy cows in Texas County. That's just east of here, about an hour or so. Killed by lightning. Farmer Jared Blackwelder went out Saturday morning to check on his herd, found 32 cows huddled up under trees where they'd tried to get out of the rain, killed by a single lightning strike. Death confirmed by a local veterinarian who said that he'd never seen more than five at a time killed by a single strike before. Six, I guess, it was the number. These cows were certified organic. Blackwelder still has about 120 cows remaining in his herd near the town of Kabul in Texas County. He says that he's just more grateful that more of them weren't killed. We can vouch for the intensity of the lightning over the weekend. They were strong. And in Texas, several strangers being praised for helping to rescue and resuscitate two babies trapped in a truck that flipped over in Texas floodwaters. This occurred in East Texas, where a driver on the road with his wife and two children, Marshall, 4 months, and Addison, 18 months old, were trying to find a storm shelter when the truck was pushed off the road into a ditch where it flipped over in 4 feet of running water. Water made it nearly impossible to open the doors, but passersby were able to pry them open and free the toddler and the infant. Marshall was the first to be rescued. Passerby named Tom Mitchell began performing CPR on the child, who was limp and had begun to turn bluish gray. The first person on the scene, a woman named Virginia Howard, began to pray. In the name of Jesus, let him breathe. Let him breathe, Lord, let him breathe. You can hear this on video, taken on a cell phone. Mitchell told reporters later that the first prayer she said, I felt the boy respond. Little girl Addison likewise needed CPR and prayer. Children were taken to Children's Medical Center of Dallas. Addison remains there in stable condition, where Marshall has been released. A rally in Colorado Springs, speaking of weather, designed to warn people about the effects of climate change and global warming, was postponed Saturday after a snowstorm made it too risky. The event, organized by an environmentalist group in Colorado Springs, was also a protest against the Trump administration's policies on climate change. However, the meetup was postponed from Saturday to Sunday because of heavy snowfall and possible blizzards. saying that the Girl Scouts are no longer a compatible partner in helping them form a young women, with virtues and values in the gospel. The Archdiocese of Kansas City has severed ties with the organization and is switching support to a Christian-based scouting program. American Heritage Girls, founded in 1995, has become an option for groups that who say the Girl Scouts have become too liberal and have relationships with organizations that don't share traditional family values, supporting abortion rights, for example. American Heritage Girls is based in Cincinnati, described as a Christ-centered character development program for girls between the ages of 5 and 18. They've got 1,005 troops across the country and more than 47,000 members, also branching out into some foreign countries. The 21st century seems to be the age of living single. A report by the Pew Center in 2014 estimates that by the time today's young adults reach the age of 50, about a quarter of them will have never been married. Some argue this is a bad trend. For example, U.S. News and World Report recently cautioned that Americans think the country's moral values are getting bad, are bad and getting worse, that is, and one of the top reasons is the large number of people remaining single. But some social scientists say, no, this is a good thing, suggesting that the rise of single living is a boon to our cities, towns, and communities, and to our relatives, friends, and neighbors. They argue that for years, communities have been organized around clusters of nuclear families, mom, dad, kids, living in suburban homes. But this arrangement, they say, is not working out so well. These houses are too isolating. We're too far from work, too far from one another. According to national research ongoing since 1974, we Americans are less friendly with one another than ever before. But studies also show that single people are reversing the trend, choosing to live in city centers, more likely than married people to encourage, help, and socialize with friends and neighbors, more likely to visit, support, advise, and stay in touch with siblings and parents. They argue that single people are the lifeblood of cities and towns, participating more in civic events and public events, enrolling in art and music classes, going out to dinner more with other people rather than staying at home. I would suggest that these social scientists are missing a larger trend here. The reason that we Americans are less friendly than ever before, I think, can be tied to the decline of the influence of our churches on us. I would also suggest that the underlying message here is one that we are being indoctrinated into through our major media over the last several decades. The idea that people who get married and devote their time and energy to their spouses and to their children are selfish and bad citizens. I think 24/7 internet access and the fact that our society is so mobile, the fact that we don't live close to family members anymore, has a lot to do with the detached nature of our existence. And I would suggest that, just to ask these social scientists that if more people were to follow their advice and remain single so that we can be good citizens and participate in art and music classes and social service volunteering instead of having children, who exactly is going to live in these wonderful cities 30 years from now? The future belongs to those who care enough to show up for it. Finally, ladies, you've all been the victim of unwanted advances from men at some point in your lives, I'm sure. New research shows that the female dragonfly may have found the ultimate response to undesired advances. They fake their own deaths. Yes, researchers out doing research on a particular species of female dragonfly found that once a female dragonfly has mated for the season, she just wants to lay her eggs and be left alone. So when an unwelcome lover comes buzzing around, because apparently in dragonflies it can be physically damaging for the female, she just if she can't get away, she just crashes to the ground, pretends that she has just died in mid-flight, crashes to the ground and lies still until the male flies away. Researchers found the first strategy to avoid being bothered is to find a place to lay her eggs that's covered by vegetation, plants, so that they're just not disturbed. But they can still be hassled on the way to and on the way from the egg-laying grounds. That's when they use the other strategy and just... Nature is an incredible thing, but ladies, I hope you never have to go that far. You'll find us online at skywatchtv.com. Of course, you'll find us also, especially these web-exclusive programs like our daily news updates, Into the Multiverse and Sci Friday, the Skywatch TV channel on Roku, the Skywatch TV app on Apple TV, and you'll find my website where I post all the stuff that comes through my head at derekpgilbert.com. Tomorrow, Sci Friday on Skywatch TV. Until then, thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.